Hello, welcome to Adobe Finance Talks, the podcast that explores the need for building new digital strategies to secure customer engagement in the finance industry. My name is Bo Becker. I'm a professor in the Department of Finance at the Stockholm School of Economics. I'm happy to be your host today. Today, we're going to talk about the impact 2020 has had on the finance industry and how it has accelerated the digital transformation that was already underway. We will hear from Simon Murray from Adobe and Nicolai Rieg from DNB, with whom I had the pleasure of attending the Finance Talks webinar back in February. Simon is the finance industry lead at Adobe with an expertise in developing strategies for customer experience transformation, digital innovation, business growth. He has built and led global teams across investment banking, wealth management, and asset management. As an executive vice president and CTO, Nicolai leads the product development of channels and technology for the personnel market at DNB. He is responsible for the value chain supporting business and recommending new tech strategies and solutions supporting the business strategy. We're going to look at how 2020 has had a huge impact on the financial industry and how it has affected services, consumers, organizations. We will discuss the industry's need for reinvention as a focal point in trying to keep up with these new changes in behavior and demand. At the end, we are going to look ahead to key priorities for the future. So be sure to listen all the way through. Once again, thank you for listening. Let's get started. I think compared to other industries that are also affected by technology, the financial industry is a little bit behind the curve in some ways. We see that the COVID epidemic has accelerated trends in technology. And I think that leaves many existing businesses with a threat to address. How do you adapt fast enough? And that's going to be a main theme in this podcast. Also, maybe coming from this, technological shifts enable globalization. But in Europe, many financial institutions are still based in regions. And I'm interested how that will change in the future. So please listen as Simon Murray from Adobe gives us his input on how some of these trends have affected the industry.
Behavioral shift, this is more than the shift to digital that we saw during the initial stages of the pandemic. Branches aren't dead yet, but right-sizing is definitely accelerating. In the example of P&C insurance, people are driving less, and some insurers have had to return premiums to their policyholders as a result of that. Investing in wealth management have seen impact. There's been market volatility for sure, but then there's also been zero commission trading, which has actually brought new people into the market. And as a result of this, we see a development of new products and services based on these behavioral shifts. And these are highly personalized, mobile, and in the case of insurance, also based on usage, which is interesting.
Let us also hear Simon explain how the behavioral shift has led to what he refers to as the distribution disruption.
Let me touch on sort of the distribution disruption. And what do I mean by that? Well, the digital shift that we've seen during the pandemic has had several ripple effects. It's exposed a lot of manual paper-based processes. It's also sidelined valuable assets that were previously located in physical locations, such as specialized personnel, loan specialists, financial advisors, etc. And some of those people are actually leaving the industry faster than they're getting replaced. So what does that mean? Channel interoperability and the optimizing mix across digital and human touch points is much more of a focus. There's increasing advisor agent connectivity, and sort of especially with top customers, and an increase in efforts to sell directly to customers for some of those firms that typically would have relied on agents.
Simon also highlighted another important threat, purely digital, coming from the neobanks. This threat is connected to the behavioral shift and the acceleration in right-sizing within financial companies.
So digital threats, like, you know, we've all heard about neobanks, you know, over the last couple of years. You know, they're built on modern technology foundations. They follow agile best practices, and they really kind of have an edge over sort of traditional models and some of the incumbents, particularly when it comes to self-service capabilities, personalization, and more importantly, they keep driving down costs. Yes, in many markets, they're struggling with profitability, particularly in this environment. But what makes them really scary is their disproportionate share of younger customers. In the US, it's like 33% of adults aged 25 to 34 are banking with some of these neobanks. Interestingly, some of the bigger financial services firms have actually invested a tremendous amount as a result of this threat. So much so that they're actually now potentially becoming the disruptors in the market as well themselves.
Adobe conducted an annual survey together with Forrester and eConsultancy. Let's hear Simon share some of the results and insights that relate to the companies that tend to handle the digital transformation better than others.
So turning to our survey data, and this is an annual survey that we do in conjunction with Forrester and eConsultancy, and this snapshot is focusing purely on financial services responders only. There weren't that many companies that considered themselves extremely prepared for what we saw in 2020, and there's no surprise really. But from what we heard, those that had invested in digital capabilities, they definitely saw benefits in how they were able to react in terms of speed, agility, and efficiency in dealing with the after effects of the pandemic. The immediate responses, as you would assume, introduction of new self-service options, the rollout of engagement solutions like chatbots, and improved collaboration across a now remote workforce. And I think what's really important here is these things probably are here to stay to some degree.
Despite this turbulence, we have seen that the right strategies and a focus on customer experience can enable companies to be more agile, respond quickly to the changing behavior and to the increased demand for digital solution coming from customers. A company that has reinvented the digital experience is DNB. Nicolas Rieck from DNB shared with us the challenges they were facing and what they have learned.
So a few years back, we saw that the marketplace was changing. Our customers that have been happy with our digital solution started to be less satisfied. And we saw that we needed to change. And this is interesting because our mobile bank and how it had been have been more or less the same for about 15 years. And it had been something the customer were happy about because the customer doesn't really like us to change. But we saw that we needed to change to keep the momentum and keep presenting the customers in a way that they got used to by Apple and Google and the others changing the standard of how you would interact with your customers. And this meant that we needed to think differently also about how we would ship the products. And I'm going to get back to that, but it required something else from us because this wasn't just how we changed our go-to-market strategy. We also needed a new foundation on how we were going to build these solutions. So we started off creating a payment app. It was something we did to meet the need of the customer. We created a market space in Norway, and we basically created a payment app that enabled our society to exchange money without actually using money. And it became a success. It became a much bigger success than what we expected. And it took the Norwegian market pretty quickly. And we spun Vipps off as a separate company so that it could continue their development. And it let us take a new look on our core banking capabilities. And the next part we wanted to transform was our mobile bank.
No doubt that DNB has been able to work agile with the customers in focus. Let's hear Nikolai elaborate on this.
We wanted to go quicker and we wanted to have a lot of development, user testing, and not creating products and having to wait 18, 24 months before we could go to market. So having a a conversation about how all these projects we were doing didn't enable speed, and try to focus on that minimum viable product approach was also something we did really well when we started the mobile bank journey. And the mobile bank, we said, now we're going to ship the bare minimum. We want to ship as soon as possible because we want that feedback loop with the customer to start. And that meant instead of having everything in place, we created this product that we know would almost make it. It would be almost good enough. But we also made the bold move to do a forced upgrade, meaning that we would put the customers onto this product as soon as it was ready to ship. And then we would start iterating and we would show them that we would add feature on it as soon as they became available. So going from having 1 to 2 releases a year, now we have constantly features going in.
Now I would like to share a section of the Q&A that we did where we had some really good questions from the audience.
I have a couple questions for you, Nikolai, in the Q&A. So I want to start with this one from Henry. He says, how did you, do you maintain alignment between the teams delivering features? How do you make sure the volume of changes are manageable for your customers and that the most important changes are delivered? And I think this actually echoes one or two other questions that are also asked about how you calibrate change with an eye to your customers.
I think it's a really good question because you want the teams to be given authority to fix things, and then you will end up with them making different choices, so that it could be the way they are coding, the coding languages, the way they would choose to integrate and do the handshakes with the other teams. So we've seen that we need some kind of orchestration between the teams, and it is basically to see how you can streamline your supply process within the teams, but still sticking to the they have trust to fix things, but you need to be able to navigate your fleet. So we talk about the teams as ships, and we say this is the general direction we want to go, and you can break the waves how you see fit, but we still need some kind of operations between the teams, so we avoid them doing the same job because that's not efficient. And also that they build all features with the big picture in mind, so they know that this feature will probably be reused in a different part of D&D when it's done. So think large, even if you want to build quick, because we don't want to scrap the feature because it doesn't fit. So there's a lot of sharing between the teams. It's a lot of discussing how we do the portfolio management, because we of course, having several different teams working in a DevOps way, and then we have teams working with more release-based systems, we need to navigate where all the work packages are and how all these teams have a different speed, different way of ensuring that the quality is there. So testing is also one of those things that we have to invest more in, and ensuring that we have environments that are production-like for the full value chain, so that these teams could actually test their features as if rest of the value chain is ready for that new feature, and not waiting for everything to roll up. So I think that's the next phase for us, is to ensure that we get each of these teams to improve their collaboration with the other teams and ensuring that we stay on the same journey. But I think that's the difficult part, because you want the teams to have autonomy, but you still need to ensure that the fleet is going in the right direction. And sometimes you would say it's okay that they work with different frameworks or different coding languages, because speed is so important to you. But for the long run, you would need to steer this a bit more fixed, a bit more pushing them towards the right choices. But that's a trade-off. And speed is important for us, but we don't want to build the same feature twice. So yeah, it's something we work with the teams on how they should collaborate. And then we see some teams have started to develop features that should probably be moved to another team, so that we get group of functions that evolve together to avoid this. But it's I would say culture is number one and this is number two, ensuring that we maximize the output of the teams by ensuring that they coordinate themselves in a very good way.
I would like to round off by sharing four key takeaways that were presented by Simon. First, real-time insights, more essential than ever, as behavior has changed over a short period of time, making real-time data extremely important. Also, agility is key, especially when pivoting your strategy. You have to be agile, you have to move quickly. Also, new ways of working can have lasting benefits. So think about digital channels first, physical channels second. Lastly, you have to re-examine everything from your strategies to your structure. Look at how your businesses are set up. Are they agile enough for this new reality? If you would like to go more in depth on these topics and also experience the whole Q&A, please watch the webinar. Thank you for listening and take care.